Senator from Holt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 297 be brought before the body.
You've heard the senator, the motion from the senator from Mercer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Atchison.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 297. This deals with water issuers. Right now in the state of Missouri, in the county of St. Louis, they currently have the ability to do water issuers. They've been doing it for about 10 years. To date, there's been no problems, no challenges. As the water companies have come in for the issuers filings, there's never been an issue. And the reason that they were granted this opportunity in St. Louis County and the reason that we'd like to expand it throughout the entire state is because right now, throughout the state, we have a lot of cast iron mains. And the cast iron mains were typically put in with a life expectancy of about 75 years. Many of those are now over 100 years old. There are a lot of problems happening there. And candidly, there's also a lot of push from the federal government to get some of this cast iron out and get it replaced with plastic. And so that is the reason for this. It is very tight, very limited in scope, and really is focused on how do you get cast iron mains replaced. I am happy to answer any questions, and I would renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Nottoway. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from St. Genevieve, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the maker of the bill.
Senator from Worth, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
With the historical knowledge that we have with the 10 years in St. Louis with the water districts, do we have data that shows that this was more of a benefit to the utility or to the consumer or equal?
Well, here's what happens. If ISRIS is implemented appropriately, the way that it works is that instead of having big increases every 4 or 5 years, i.e. when a full rate case is filed, there's a series of smaller increases. And if I remember right now, if you look at how ISRIS has impacted the water bills in St. Louis County, I believe it represents about 75 cents per month is where it is. And the theory behind it is we want them to do line replacement. We know that ultimately they're going to have to do line replacement. Historically, the Public Service Commission always allows that into the rate case. And so instead of making them wait 5 years, carry all that cost and the interest that goes with that, allow them to file the smaller ISRIS cases along the way. And ultimately, I believe in the long run, it's better for the customer. Now, and the reason I say that, Senator, is because instead of having 15% increases, you have 3% increases over time, if that makes sense.
And we have, you know, other ISRIS issues being considered and discussed. And so I would say that the St. Louis is a good test ground on showing us how an ISRIS has really impacted the ratepayers for that particular area. Is there any data to show how well or what the rate increases were for the previous 10 years by comparison to the rate increases over the next 10 years with the ISRIS in place?
Not that I'm aware of, Senator. The real issue around ISRIS and implementation of ISRIS is the companies that are going to be making the ISRIS filings are those companies that you trust and that you and they have a proven history of being able to work with their constituencies, i.e. customers. And as we know, if you go back and look right now of the 10 years that this has been operational, I'm not aware of any case where there was a challenge filed when the ISRIS case was filed, if that makes sense. Like, there's never been opposing parties. They've always worked with everyone. Everyone's been in the loop. And candidly, it's never been a significant enough cost that it's risen to the point where anyone stepped in to challenge it.
It just seems like there's a great opportunity to understand. And in theory, I understand how ISRIS and the concept that you get a little bit up front so that towards the end it's not as drastic. You're getting a recovery up front so that your cost of money is not quite so much. But we have an opportunity to have some proven theory here. If we can get that data, it would sure be helpful.
That's been the big issue, Senator, is that the One of the strongest arguments behind this is that whenever you're looking at securing financing for this, because the risk is less, they being the water companies, believe their ability to secure capital is better. Now, is it? Is it not? I mean, we can debate that all day long. But right now, you know, outside of what is happening with the electric ISRAS debate in this building and lack of debate in this chamber, the reality is that I believe that the water, through the way they've used it in St. Louis County, the gas, the way they've used it historically, that we now have the opportunity to use that same model in a way that, to date anyway, Senator, has been proven to not be harmful. And I don't think anyone can stand on this floor and in good conscience say that rates are never going to go up. We know they're going to go up. The best that we can do is try to mitigate the rate and the magnitude of those rate increases. And that's why I believe that allowing the companies to take responsible steps with the appropriate checks and balances to secure capital at a more affordable rate and create a mechanism by which there's still Public Service Commission oversight, but allow for a mechanism of smaller increases versus dramatic increases every time they file a full rate case. I think that ultimately that is better for the ratepayer.
And that was going to be my next question. So the PSC would still have full authority over these rate cases?
Right. The way that an ISRAS case is done, so throughout the time as they're replacing the water mains, let's say it's annually, 18 months, whatever that time period is, they actually file a rate case at the Public Service Commission. It's called an ISRAS case. They submit everything that they believe should be part of it. It's reviewed at that point, and the Public Service Commission will say, yes, we'll let you put X amount into your rate base now. And then whenever they file the full rate case again, there's another review of that. That prudency threshold is always still there. So the Public Service Commission oversight that this body, I think, has overwhelmingly said they're supportive of, that process is still in place.
If the ISRAS rate increase was to be deemed to be extravagant, is there something in this bill that allows that money to be reimbursed back to the consumer or the ratepayer?
Well, the Public Service Commission still has that same authority. So let's assume that they get to the full rate case. And during the full rate case, they say, wait a minute, company ABC, you've over-earned. The Public Service Commission still has that authority to either roll back the earnings they give them going forward. They have that same power they do today to make that right with the consumer, is my point.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Polk, for what purpose do you rise?
Require the senator from the 12th.
Senator from Davies, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I was just listening to some of the conversation between you and the senator from the 3rd there. Why would it, and I know you kind of walked through the ISRAS process, but if you're, say your pipes are in bad shape, and this has been going on over a 25-year period, because some of the guys in my office talked to me about this earlier, why was the repairs not done any earlier? And my next question would be is why didn't they take that in front of the PSC to get that approved?
Those are both good questions. Why they were not done earlier, I cannot answer that. In fact, we have a lot of small communities in where I serve, Senator, that are outside of maybe even a Public Service Commission, you know, full hearing type of thing, where they haven't replaced water mains in decades, and they're having a lot of breaks. I mean, a lot of challenges. As for going before the Public Service Commission, I don't know all the answers as to why not just go to the Public Service Commission and say, hey, listen, we want to do this, grant us this authority. I think the concern there is still the lack of certainty about when they go to the markets. That okay, the Public Service Commission said that we'll try this for now, but they could pull it back any time. Where a clearly defined statute says here's going to be the public policy of our state for whatever period of time. You know what I mean? Whether it's perpetually, whether it's in the discussions we've had, sunset, whatever that time period is. But at least they can go to the markets and say, listen, over the next 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, which is probably a more reasonable sunset period, they can go and say, you know, we're gonna go invest X billions of dollars over the next decade, and we're looking to secure financing at the lowest possible rate. And that's what's driving this whole discussion here.
Right. And that's the thing that I've, in all the ISRS discussions that we're going sure. now, I keep wondering, why now? Why, if we knew this was going on and going on, why all of a sudden did this become a hot item for different utilities? And
well, I think, in all fairness, I think that there have been two utilities, the water and the gas guys, who have proven they have historically managed their operations in a way that have not created confrontational rate cases. And this year, through a change of the way that the electric companies want to work, which, by the way, is a different type of ISRS than their ISRS does not stand for the same thing that ISRS stands for in water and gas.
I thought maybe they were the same. I didn't know for sure.
No, right. But with that, I mean, that's what's really driven this discussion is the fight between the industrials and the energy providers that provide them that electricity.
Yeah, to some part of that I agree with. But one thing I think that's missed in this whole debate is, what does the consumer think? What does the ratepayer think? Because that's the one I'm not for sure. Me personally, I've heard very much from the guy back home wanting me to do these kind of things. And on the other bill, that's a discussion for another day, but we'll talk about yours. But my other concern is, if I was to vote for this bill,
when you vote for this bill, right?
That's a pretty good size if. The people that we're going to be voting for, we're going to be increasing other people's rates from outside my district.
That'd be correct. That's accurate.
That would be accurate. If we do that,
that's right.
Which, not the first time we've did things right. like that in other places, whether it be St. Louis, whether it be rural areas.
How does it
affect, and I know we've been talking about St. Louis County and their example, but as you well know, from your district and my district, there's a big difference between St. Louis County
sure.
and our counties.
Right.
And how does this affect them versus a St. Louis county? Because you got more volume, you got more money. I mean, there's more ways to create money versus our areas.
Right. And I think that, you know, the biggest issue, Senator, is going to be that probably in your larger communities and even in town, in our small towns,
right.
they've got a lot of this cast iron main issue. Most of your rural water deployment has been in a recent enough time frame that most of them are probably plastic, if I was guessing. I'm by no means an expert there. So the understanding, and this is the balance, this is the challenge that we've got to figure out how to get to here, is how do you balance that company's ability and or need to replace their infrastructure so they can provide reliable water, in this case, right?
Right.
With, as you pointed out and the senator from St. Genevieve articulated, these more moderate rate increases. I mean, rates are going up no matter what we do.
Right.
It's a how do you manage it and what is the most reasonable process to go about that? So the question that I keep coming back to and I keep struggling with is it better to continue the status quo, which what I know about the status quo is that we have not done replacement like needed to happen. I know that when rates have gone up, they've been fairly significant because they only go back for full rate cases 3 to 5 years, depending on, you know, when they're mandated to. And by the way, every time they go for a rate increase, all the cost of that rate increase also gets passed on to the consumer.
Right.
And is there a better way?
Right.
And I believe there's a better way. I believe this is a better way. I will be the first to say this isn't perfect. I don't think anyone would argue that this is perfect. If there are better suggestions or other input, I'm happy to hear it. But, Senator, we've been working through all of this stuff for several months now, and between you and I truly believe that if we were not having the electric ISRS battle that is currently happening in this building, this might have been a consent bill. It wouldn't have been because I would have knocked it off the calendar. But, I mean, there would have been a fair number of people who would have thought nothing about this. And this whole ISRS debate this year, even though ISRS is defined differently in that bill versus here, has changed the whole perspective around this.
Senator, and I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, and that's probably a good thing. Just like tax credits, you know, when you get to the Senate, you learn more about that issue than I ever did in the House. And that's
right.
The truth. And I've heard many of my colleagues talk pros and cons about it, and I've listened. And I think the same thing when this all came about with ISRS, most of us did educate ourselves.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, we started learning more and more and more about the process. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And what you said a while ago is the tough decision to make, because we as government sometimes think we're going to try to make what we think is better for you in the future. Not necessarily wait and see if it was better, but we're saying by doing this in this segment, what we're saying for the consumer, for the ratepayer, we think this is a better road for you to go down than wait until that decision's made. We think that rate's going to be cheaper. And that, and as you well know, as I'm standing right here, that's an unknown. We hope that's the case.
I don't know if it's going to be cheaper, but here's what I know.
Or I mean less of it.
I know that if every month when you pay your bill, you want the bill to be as low as possible. But boy, when the main breaks and you got 3 days without water, you want them to, you know, have money to replace those mains sooner. And that's the balance that we're trying to work through here. And so
I don't think there's no question our country.
I believe, Senator, that a more moderated increase versus a 3 or 5 year spike, you know, a spike every 3 to 5 years, is ultimately easier for people to manage through. And
that is one of the basic discussions to have.
That's exactly
what
right.
We're having there on that. Now, let me ask something, because it was floated around when I met with the guys earlier today. They said, well, it was $8 a year for a household or
right.
Somebody on it. So is that based on St. Louis County, or is that based in rural
Missouri? I believe those numbers are being articulated off of the St. Louis County impacts.
So that could be a significant change to the rural
could
area.
Be much lower, yes.
Much lower.
You never know. It
I
could
hope
be.
You're right. I hope you're right.
Well,
that might help a little bit if it agrees that way.
It could be different. I said, yes, it could be much lower.
Normally, water in the rural areas seems to be extremely high.
Unfortunately.
Least ways they were in my district on that. As we go through this, Senator, I think there's always a question of the unknown. So, you know, what happens from this thing? Is it a good thing forever? Is it a good thing to have a time element on this for some of us to be able to come back and to see that? And with that, Senator, what I'd like to do, and I talked to you earlier, so there's no surprises here. I think having a sunset on these type of provisions for somebody in this chamber to someday to say if, in fact, what you say or what you believe and what they say they're going to do really happens. And I think everybody should have a right, regardless what it is, to be able to make that decision to whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. And if this body's going to make this decision, especially for other people's districts, then I think we ought to have the opportunity someday to come back and say, hey.
Well, we can have a great debate about sunsets, but if this body is going to start taking the position that sunsets are the way to go, then we're going to have that same discussion on tax credits. Because a lot of the people who are with you on this and helping you put a sunset on this have fought adamantly against any type of sunset on tax credits. And there's only one fundamental difference here. One's a constituency that gives large politically, and these folks give minimal politically. So, I mean, I'm fine. I am philosophically centered. I don't disagree with where you are.
I know what you're saying. But I know the other issue is going to be an issue.
Yeah, but the other issue is if we're going to stand on this floor and say sunsets are good, then all right, they're going to be good for everything.
Yeah.
Not just good for whenever we're trying to kill something.
And if that day, if I was up on the floor again someday talking the opposite view of this, maybe in that particular case, would you be reminding me of this day?
I'd be happy to.
Just in case I forgot.
Well, I mean,
we'll have that discussion when the time comes.
I'm sure that's right. I can't wait to see your vote on that.
All right. Mr. President, I have an amendment. Thank you for the inquiry.
Send your amendment forward.
Mr. President, it has already been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
I will. Mr. President, this base for the body's knowledge puts a 4-year sunset on this bill, and that would allow people in this chamber that makes this decision today or tomorrow, whenever the decision may be made to vote on this bill, that they would have a chance to revisit this to discuss what they want to do in the future on this bill.
Senator from Polk moves the amendment of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Hi, yes, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from DeKalb, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Cole, we need to remind you, do not interrupt two senators when they are debating. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I had a few questions, and I have to apologize. I'm just now looking at this.
Okay.
And I have a few questions. It looks as though I'm looking at the title, but it also includes any sewer companies. Would that be the same as the Metropolitan Sewer District? Would they be included in this?
I believe that's right, Senator.
Okay. Did they testify on wanting to be included in this bill?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
The other question,
I'm sorry.
The other question that I have, no, they did not. The other question
they did
that,
not?
They did not.
Okay.
The other question that I have is, have you ever testified at one of these public hearings before the PSC on a rate change? Have you?
I have not.
Okay, I have, and I did so last year. And one of the reasons why I did that is because I had a whole bunch of senior citizens who were complaining about a possible rate increase. I think it was Missouri American Water or American Water, something like that. But what really concerns me here is that we're talking about St. Louis County, and I just had a sit down with my county executive on Friday, and he didn't mention anything about this. The lobbyist for the Metropolitan Sewer District didn't ask for anything like this. And I'm just concerned because I've been tracking not only the Metropolitan Sewer District and their increases, but, you know, I don't want to include a certain industry that didn't ask to be on here, and I have a huge problem, especially since you're speaking from the vantage point of St. Louis County, and you're not from St. Louis County, and no one from St. Louis County has told me that they wanted to be included.
No, St. Louis County already has it today.
Well, you're including.
So what we're doing is we're taking the same.
But you're changing this to include the sewer districts.
Hold on a second, Senator.
You're changing this so all water and sewer corporations are eligible for the districts.
Senator, what page are you on? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm just looking at our briefing here. I'm not looking at your bill, but as I'm looking at the face of your bill, it still says water service or sewer service. And no one from any sewer entity throughout the state even testified on this. Unless MEDA represents the sewer districts of the state. I don't know what they represent, but it looks like only American Water, Missouri.
Yeah, I see it now. We're over on page 6.
Well, I'm just starting out on page 1, but.
Right. No, you were talking about the sewer piece, and I just found it over here on page 6.
Yeah, so I would like to take the sewer district part out. I know we're on someone else's amendment, but because we're
gotten so bad that we actually had been ordered by the feds to clean up our act.
Right.
And I remember specifically voting yes on that water increase, that bill increase, because
I did as well.
Well, because the way it was proposed to us and,
right.
and what I believe to be true is that it could go up a little bit, or actually it can go up a lot now, or it can go up more than anybody could ever sustain or imagine. If we don't pass this now.
And that's how it was given to us as voters, and I supported it.
And that
as well.
Seemed reasonable, and I supported it, and I stand by that. Our city, unfortunately, for too long has buried their head in the sewer as it comes to fixing some major infrastructure problems. And to say that we have water problems in Kansas City is an understatement. Senator, how many metal plates do you drive over a day in Kansas City? Or how many streets are you diverted down because of the constant water issues that we're dealing with.
Oh, tons.
I mean, I think you very nicely one day drove me back to Kansas City after I missed my train. And as I was getting out of your car, some of my items fell into a flood that was rushing down the street.
It
and
did.
I mentioned to you that that actually had been going on for about 2 weeks. Just water just running down the street for no apparent reason. I have, in the last 2 weeks alone, had the water company come and shut down water on our entire block for probably a total of 12 to 15 hours while they try to fix that issue. We have some huge problems. Those problems cost money to fix. My concern is, relating to this bill, that we have already voted to increase what we pay. Now we're going to take away the ability of the voters to vote on this
right.
and allow, you know, folks to make that decision for us. I mean, we said yes, but we had the chance to say yes. Now we're going to take that ability away. I have some concern about that. I'm hoping that the senator from Nottoway has some additional information about whether or not this is something that Kansas City can be exempted from, whether
right.
we're not included at all. Maybe this doesn't apply to us. But I do have some concerns about that.
I do.
I mean,
and oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Senator, you were just anecdotally walking around the chamber and getting some information about people about their water bills. You don't even have to assign dollar amounts to folks, but I mean, what were you hearing again, what people are paying as far as water bills are concerned?
Well, it was interesting because I will say, and I can talk anecdotally about a few of them that responded, but even the senator from the 14th, who we know lives out in St. Louis County, said, oh, my water bill is so high, I paid $200 every 3 months for a while. Now it's gone back down to $55. I said $200 every 3 months. I pay more than that, certainly, every 2 months. You know, at $125 a month, which is what I pay for water, and I guess I'm really rather discouraged by it, because if I had realized or made some assessment of what we're paying as opposed to or in comparison to other areas of the state, I'm not sure where I would have been on that last bonding issue, considering that. And,
right.
You know, and so I've since asked, why is our water bill so high? And other folks have said, well, you know, it's because for years the city of Kansas City had collected whatever the fee should have been on water, and they were doing other things with the money. And we know that happens in budget process. But if I had realized at the time that even though we were already paying the $125 a month, and we were told that if we didn't vote for the bonding issue later on, the fees would be so exorbitant, we may not be able to afford it, and some of those other things, I'm really rather irritated now that our water bill is because it's so fundamental for any family living anywhere that we would be paying that much in water.
I mean,
really?
And it sounds like it doesn't make any difference how much water you use. You still have a bill at that level. I mean, I don't water my lawn. I don't water any plants. I mean, I let it die. I let it die. I plant as many native plants as possible that are drought resistant. But one of the things that I choose not to spend my money or time on is watering my lawn. Now, because of that, I have a lawn that is a little bit brown right now, but I'm okay with that. I can live with that. But it seems like whether, you know, I have a house full of 10 people or whether I have, you know, a house of one grandmother on a fixed income,
right,
it sounds like your bill is still about $125 a month, and that just
still $125 a month. So I think when he was asked, it was interesting. I think the senator from Nottoway was wanting to do some more investigation on this portion of the bill. I would at least, because of our circumstances in the city of Kansas City, even if he's wanting to leave this section in the bill, I would certainly like for Kansas City to be exempted out of this portion.
Oh, I just got a text message, and Kansas City is not in this bill. So, you know,
Kansas City is not in this
no,
bill.
No, Kansas City is not impacted by the changes in this bill. It's my understanding that it's because this bill relates to private water companies, and so this will only affect those folks in the state who have the private water companies. It will not impact Kansas City because we have the municipal water.
Okay.
So
that makes me feel better.
But you know what, Senator?
I certainly would not want to be in a position where in lieu of our...
I guess my concern and my questions kind of go to the point of, you know, here we're considering legislation that gives these companies that by definition are kind of monopolies in the area. In other words, if you live in that area, you buy from them. But then we're going to give them the opportunity to charge the ratepayers for replacement costs, building new water lines. And I guess one of my questions is, that's already built into their rate. What in the world are they doing with the money now?
Okay, so let's clarify a couple points. Number one, this bill only pertains to companies that fall under the purview of the Public Service Commission.
Right.
So, municipal utilities, many of your rural water, most of your rural water districts, that would not be the case. What has happened in the past, right, wrong, indifferent, is the rate by which they have replaced these cast iron mains has not been expedient enough. And so now they know they need to expedite that process. And the argument here is, Senator, is they could go do this and come back for a rate case every year or come back for a rate case every 2 years. But as you know, rate cases are expensive,
right,
and they're cumbersome. The goal behind this was to allow a mechanism that has been used in St. Louis County fairly effectively to allow greater investment in the replacement of the cast iron mains. And instead of every 3 years having this big spike in increases, have smaller increases each year. So instead of, you know, it increasing 10% in year three, maybe it's 3% or 2% in the years leading up to that. I mean, that's the whole theory behind doing what we're doing. And the safeguards, the checks and balances, whatever you want that to be called, Senator, is that's why in an ISRIS filing, you still go to the Public Service Commission. They still have to go submit all those costs, go through it, and then ultimately, even when the full rate case happens, they still go through all of that process again. So have they not done an adequate job of putting back reserves or increasing their fees proactively to increase, to expedite the rate by which they replace mains? I mean, you could argue that if you want, but I can't fix what's happened in the past. And where we are today is we know we've got to replace the cast iron mains. We know that there's pressure coming from the federal level to expedite it. We know that at some point it's going to cost the consumers. And the question, the debate here is, how do you best mitigate that impact? It's going to happen. That's for sure. And I believe that smaller, more managed increases are better than large, double-digit increases every 3 to 5 years. So,
you know, and my concern is, I guess, if we allow, in other words, obviously the business, as a business model, they have not done a very good job keeping the infrastructure upgraded. And if we go ahead at this point and we say, okay, we're going to let you charge off your cost of replacing infrastructure, maintaining the system, then do we not take away their incentive to be a good business model? In other words, I guess we're all kind of lazy, and if I had that kind of a guarantee in my veterinary practice, you know, then you can't mess up, so to speak. It amazes me that these folks would go before a Public Service Commission, and I know when they go for a rate case, they have a lot of experts, a lot of very smart people that do a lot of studying, and I bet they get this figured pretty tight and pretty close. And why in the world were they forgetting about a 100-year-old water main? Those always cause trouble.
My understanding, Senator, is that, and I am not an expert in how rate cases work, but the component of the rate case that forces them to be, quote, good business managers is their general business expense. Like, that's where the real debate happens about what's their admin fees and all those types of costs. I mean, the cost to replace a cast iron main is going to be less if you pay for it as you go versus paying for it, carrying the interest cost on that for months or in most cases years, and then taking all of that plus the cost of the rate base, or I'm sorry, plus the cost of the rate case, and running all that into the base rate for the consumer to pay. So it's going up either way, Senator. If you have a better suggestion, man, I'm all for it. I'm all for hearing anybody else's ideas. But to stand on this floor and say, listen, we should just keep doing what we've been doing, it isn't working. And that's why I'm...
You know, and I guess I agree with you somewhat, but at the same time, I don't want to just open the door and give them pass in that they don't have to answer to anybody. In other words, I agree with Senator from Polk's amendment to put some sunsets on this. I agree with some caps on, you know, I don't want them to replace a 100-year problem in 2 years. And you know, I guess if I was a company that offered this service, that's probably what I would go after, because right now then I can go ahead and charge the rate and do it. So you know, I'm not so sure we shouldn't look at caps or whatever, because when you have a monopoly,
there is a cap, Senator. There's a rate cap in terms of the percent that they can increase under ISRIS. So there is a cap in place there.
How much is it?
I believe it's a total of 10% over the total duration of that period, which essentially works out to, if they're going to manage their cost up to that, say it happens over a 3-year period, you're essentially looking at 3%. If it's going to be over a 5-year period, you'd be looking at 2%. So there is the security that they're not going to go gold plate their system.
Is that in law now, or is that in your bill?
It's both in law now, and it is. I think if I remember right, in right now, it is. I don't remember if it's currently the 10% in law, or if it's a smaller percentage that's being adjusted because of time. Look here, Senator.
I think it's on page 7. It alludes to the 10%, but then it says 10% of a small sewer corporation or a small water corporation base revenue is defined in, and then it refers to a section that honestly I didn't look up, and I apologize for that. But
that's okay.
You know, I want to see where that's at. But do you understand what my concern is? Are these guys going to invest in new trucks, a better retirement system, or are they going to put the money in replacing the infrastructure?
But those are all business costs. That those fall under a separate part of the whole debate. First, like, none of those types of costs get to come into here. Like, this is literally all they can submit ISRIS here is the money they've spent on the main on infrastructure, i.e., main replacements.
And you're sure you can keep that separate?
Yeah, because this is part of the debate.
Would the senators please take their conversations to the side gallery or the rear gallery other members may listen to the debate, specifically in this quadrant of the Senate section right here?
What I tried to do, Senator, is take, as we've listened and watched the electric ISRIS death spiral, I've tried to use some of the things that we've seen there to rectify and make sure that we have the appropriate checks and balances here. From a cap perspective, there's a difference in what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. You know, in the electric ISRIS, they were wanting general business trackers and all kinds of other things like that have become big issues. And what we're talking about here with both gas and water is true infrastructure only. That's the only thing that is allowed. That's the only thing that they have historically used. And what we're essentially talking about here is, hey, let's have this discussion about, we know what we're doing today isn't working. Is there a better route? And if so, then how do we get there?
And I understand, and I agree with you. And I guess my big concern is when we have by virtue some companies have to be monopolies. I mean that's just how it is. But it seems like the more we get involved in saying what they can and can't do and allowing more, generally the cost goes up, and oftentimes the service is no better or worse. And some of these things are really spiraling out of control. And then it concerns me if we go from cast iron to plastic. I know that DNR and EPA does not allow plastic in some water lines and some uses. Is that going to change in 2 years?
Well, I mean, none of that changes. We don't spell out in here what they have to use. What we know is that the cast iron mains that are in place today are on their last breath, for lack of a better term. And so we're going to have a plan going forward. And, you know, as I said, this is, I think, as reasonable and moderated a step as we can take. I'm not trying to throw open the gates and turn the keys over to anybody. But I do think, Senator, that we've got to get serious in this state about reliable infrastructure. And unfortunately, over the last several decades, our predecessors did not do that.
Yeah, and that concerns me. In other words, a company that provides a service that offers this, as a service, for water, gas, electric, whatever it is, that's part of what you do as a business model, is to upgrade and keep that system to where it is a functional system. And it amazes me that something 100 years old has suddenly snuck up on them. I guess my question to these folks would be, why did you not see this coming? Even cast iron gives away, iron rust. In high school and college, worked for a street and water department. So we used to get to dig up these mains in a small town, an old town. And so it amazes me that when we have engineers who are highly qualified and highly trained, highly educated, highly paid, that wasn't bringing this to the board or investors or shareholders. I guess I'm somewhat amazed at that. So anyway, that's some of the questions I had. Are we making it too easy for someone that has a captive, secure audience that they're charging? And I think we need to be very careful as legislators that we open that door too much, because we're the only people that represent the ratepayers in all of this. And they have a stake here as well. And hopefully it does stay $8 a year. And that's a big increase for some folks. But what if it becomes $880 a month or something? Then that becomes a huge issue. And by definition, the 10%, I guess it could go that high. Do we know exactly how high the rates could go on a water customer?
I don't know off the top of my head, Senator. I'm sure they can find that for you.
Do we have any way of calculating that, I wonder?
I'm sure someone.
Is it going to be 10% of their water bill per month, or 10% of what the company invests in infrastructure? Or
I don't know what the exact dollar amount is. I'm sure there's someone out in that room that's working on that as we speak.
I will try to find that out. If you could find it out, I really would appreciate it, because, I think we need to know. For the folks back home, I think it's part of our job for us to know exactly how high could this thing go within that 10%. And thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard upon the amendment offered by the senator from Polk? Senator from Barton.
Substitute amendment.
Please send your substitute amendment forward.
Been distributed, and I'd ask for a waiver.
It's been distributed. The reading shall be waived. Would you like to move for the adoption of your amendment and explain?
Adoption of the amendment.
Go ahead.
It's 03S for those that are looking through their literature, and the senator from Nottoway commented earlier that the 4 years is really probably inappropriate for this type of legislation. I agree with that. This extends the sunset for 2 years. It becomes a six-year sunset. It also acknowledges that St. Louis County has been doing this since, I think, 2005, been very successful in it. They've had significant upgrades and improvements to their system that were allowed or at least encouraged by their ISRIS. And so this excludes St. Louis County from the sunset. So the sunset would only apply to the expansion that is produced by the Senator from Nottoway's legislation. And, Mr. President, may I inquire the Senator from Nottoway?
Senator from Nottoway, would you yield?
Would.
He does proceed.
Senator, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this, but from your earlier comment, I'm assuming you're probably going to be okay with this.
Yep. Here's what I'd like to do. As I shared with the Senator from Polk, we're probably looking, in all likelihood, you're looking at 2 years before they can even begin to use ISRIS. So moving the date back a little bit helps. Clearly, I would like to move it a couple more years. I have no problem with a sunset. I have no problem with there being a check and balance on this. I'll let the will of the body prevail on how we move here. I think you're proposing, the Senator from Polk proposed a very short-sighted four-year sunset. You have, with your eyes wide open, have proposed a six-year sunset. I would probably prefer to see an eight-year sunset, but we can have that discussion here.
Sure. Well, frankly, Senator, this really is more of the Senator from Phelps hit the nail right on the head. But it's not an issue of poor planning as much as it is an issue of a regulated monopoly versus free enterprise. Because if it was a free enterprise system that was engaged here, he would be exactly right. The indictment would be against the company for allowing this to go on. What we have is we have a regulated monopoly where we don't have the dynamics of the free market imposed on the system. And so it's in the best interest of a monopoly to do this as an emergency. Because as an emergency, even though it costs the consumers more, it's almost automatically approved by the Public Service Commission because it was an emergency.
Right.
So it's really, the system does not encourage good management of the system. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have good managers and they can't anticipate that and plan for it and do cost appraisals and come in. But these monopolies are not permitted to assess these charges through the rate base until the Public Service Commission has reviewed the charges. They've already been incurred. They've already done the work, and the Service Commission, show them the work, get the Public Service Commission to agree that what they did was prudent and appropriate, and then approve the cost, and then the rates, then that goes into the rate base. That's the reason that I believe the ISRIS has been so successful in St. Louis, is because it sidesteps a lot of the costs of that rate case. It continues to have the same oversight by the Public Service Commission, but it allows these companies to manage themselves in more of a free market environment because they can manage it according to when they think the cost will be best, when they can get the work done the most efficiently.
Senator, let me clarify here. You've offered a substitute amendment?
Substitute amendment.
Okay, so we have a substitute amendment to the Senator from Polk's amendment. So an amendment, it would be in order to change that from 2019 to 2021. I would like for the table to start drafting that. And here's my intent, Senator. My intent is to offer the amendment to take it to 8 years. I'm going to request a standing division, and I'm going to let the body decide. And whatever the body decides, I'm good with.
All right.
I think there's a legitimate debate about let's have a time period which we come back and look at it. That's more than reasonable, and I'm happy to move forward.
I'm fine with that, Senator. I think that to have a sunset on this particular issue, although there is no necessarily any great harm in it,
yep.
I don't know that it really fits the model as
and,
well.
And
as
in
just
all fairness, the reason that I'm going to ask for an 8-year instead of 6-year
sure.
is because the first 2 years we know nothing's going to happen. By the time that the rulemaking occurs and they go through a full rate case,
right.
before they start. So just so that everybody knows where we're going here, I just wanted to be put all my cards on the table.
And I think we've had the St. Louis County in place since, was it 2005?
It's been there for almost 10 years.
So that's in the same relative time frame. And anecdotally there, everything has worked very fine, you know, very well. I don't think that we've got any complaints filed with the Public Service Commission. The only thing I hear about it is that it had a real positive impact in terms of the infrastructure in St. Louis County.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the way that it's worked historically has been very positive. I respect and understand the perspective that there should be a check and balance. I wish that same perspective occurred with tax credits, but that's a discussion we'll get to at another date. But I think I'm comfortable with the direction we're moving here, Senator.